Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we meditate upon God's Word this evening, we turn to the words of Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, she was just a little girl, about 9 years old, very happy little lady, very joyful, the apple of her parents' eye. But then fifth grade came, and she became more somber, more saddened, more withdrawn. Her parents asked her, "What's wrong, honey?" And she would not answer. The parents didn't know what the problem was until one day she came home with bruises on her arms. She had been beaten by a bully. Bullying is a real and widespread problem. In fact, our government now has a website called stopbullying.gov. They will tell us that there are several types of bullying. There is the verbal type of bullying, where people name call, for instance. There is the social type of bullying, where people ostracize other people. And then there is the physical bullying, destroying property, or even hitting and beating others. Bullying can go on in the workplace, between fellow workers. Bullying can go on even in the house, between husbands and wives, between brothers and sisters. It is no surprise to us that Jesus faced bullying too. And it is unmistakably true as we look at Matthew this evening that Jesus experienced what we call physical bullying. But what crime did Jesus commit to be bludgeoned so badly? He was the one who came to preach peace, the one who came to preach forgiveness of sins and eternal life with him in heaven. And yet they bludgeoned him so. Tonight we consider the hands of brutality, the hands of those soldiers. You may know from Scripture that this was not the first time Jesus had been beaten. It was in Caiaphas's court that Jesus had already been beaten. Remember that court? It was a mock trial where they tried to come up with some trumped up charges on Jesus. Nothing could stick. So they decided to then beat Jesus, to mock him, to spit upon him, and send him to Pilate. And you would expect the governor, he would be just. He would be the one who would understand the case. And of course, he wanted to set Jesus free at first. But remember that Pilate was more a politician before he was a humanitarian. And therefore, he gave in to the pressure and sent Jesus off to be crucified. But not before Jesus would be beaten once again at the hand of not just a few soldiers, but a cohort of soldiers. The only charge that they came up with is that Jesus said that he was a king. And so we see what these soldiers did to Jesus, putting a crown of thorns on his head, dressing him in a robe, putting a staff in his hand, and kneeling down to worship him mockingly. Would you just imagine for a moment those soldiers, if they only would have known who this man was standing before them? That crown that they placed upon his head, that head was the head of the all-knowing God. That face which they spat upon was the countenance of God that shined forth in all glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. That staff that they shoved into his hand, they mocked him. Yet he is the ruler of all, the King of kings and the creator of all things. And they kneeled down to mockingly worship him. Every knee on the last day will bow to him in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You know, some parents might tell their kids, when a bully really gets at you, you ought to get back at them. What do we see Jesus do? Jesus practiced what he preached. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Jesus says, pray for your enemies and love even those who would insult you and persecute you. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus did not retaliate against his many bullies. Isaiah 50 tells us words that Jesus fulfilled. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not turn my face away from their spitting and mocking. We understand what Jesus was fulfilling here. We call this his passive obedience, that he allowed himself to be beaten and bludgeoned so terribly. And the reason why Jesus did all that, it was for you he did that. It was for me he did that. It was for us and for our eternal salvation that Jesus faced such suffering. And it couldn't be any other way, could it? It really couldn't. If Jesus would have avoided all that indignity, if he would have retreated from the cross, what would that mean for us? It would mean no forgiveness. It would mean eternal wrath and divine justice, not at the hands of bullies, but the divine justice of our Almighty God. There was a man once named John Chrysostom. He was an ancient theologian, and he once tried to describe why Jesus was beaten and bludgeoned so thoroughly throughout his body. He said this, it is because that there is sin dwelling in all of our parts, and it is existing and living within us and our parts that Jesus suffered in all of his members of his body for us, for our salvation. You know, if you've ever been beaten by a bully or threatened by a bully, you may feel very alone. You may feel powerless. You may feel like you have to obey. Sin is a bully. Sin is a bully. The Apostle Paul, the converted Apostle Paul, said, the good that I would do, that I do not do. The evil that I would not do, that I keep on doing. He understood that sin was a bully. The devil is a bully. He'll come to you and he will attract you with the thinking that he is your friend, and he will send many temptations your way. And once you fall into temptation, he will come as the great accuser, accusing you of how you could do such a terrible thing. How could God ever forgive you for what you've done? Death. Death is a bully too. Death threatens to swallow us up. But dear friends, you do not belong to a bully. You belong to Christ. Christ came to win peace for you with your God and with one another. Christ Jesus came and faced all the threats of the bullies, not only suffering but dying upon the cross, so that you will not be threatened again. With sin, we hear from the book of Romans, sin will not be your master, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. In Scripture, Scripture tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know what has happened with death. Instead of it swallowing us up, death has been swallowed up in victory. Thanks be to God. Dear friends, you live in freedom. The freedom that Jesus won for you. It is His love that compels us to live each day for Him. You live in that freedom to serve Him. You live in that freedom to love one another. You live in that freedom to turn the cheek. You live in that freedom to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I look around a lot these days and I see people who are unhappy. And maybe they're unhappy for various reasons. But I believe many of them are unhappy because they have no real relationship with Jesus. Because they are still being bullied. Bullied by sin, bullied by temptations, bullied by the devil, bullied by the threat of death. Dear friends, you are not under the threat of a bully. You have a brother who loves you with an unconditional love, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Live for Him. Live to bring the peace of Christ to others who are still being threatened by bullies. For that peace is what surpasses all understanding.